Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, polish up your diamonds and pop them on, because it's a glitzy one. Today, I've got Phil Nichol. I think it's fair to call him a star off stage, screen and your dreams. As a lovely little chat, actually. And if his dad is listening, well, I'd love to pass on my best. And at the end of the podcast, his dad is religious. And at the end, I'm religious in a way. We all are in a way. So what is your religion? Some people, capitalism. Yes, this podcast really is everything. But if he is listening, I did say, oh God, at the end, and I felt bad about that at the time, but I've just said it again now. Ours is not to judge, so think about that. Okay, well, it's a lovely episode, and I really welcome you in, and I'm just going to get your little head and pop it on my chest and hold you tight to my bosom, okay? Phil Nichol, As I Live and Breathe.
Hello.
Thank you for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me on. I love the idea of cuddling.
It's a good old pastime, isn't it? Bring it back.
It is. Bring it back. I don't know if it's ever disappeared.
Well, COVID-19 certainly wasn't a fan of the old. But I think the pandemic's largely over now, isn't it?
I hope so. I think I remember back when it happened, and I'm not being a smartass about it. It was made quite clear it would be at least 2 years. And at the time I was going, it's going to be March 2022, guys. You know, like me acting like I know something. Guys, it's going to be March 2022. And as it turns out, it looks like it will be. Hopefully.
And did you use astrology or numerology to get to that?
Yeah, I did. I went to a Ouija board and I contacted someone who died during the Spanish flu. And said, what was it like for you? And in a very long, drawn-out conversation with the... he said it'll be March 2022.
All joking aside, don't get involved with the Ouija board because it's very negative energy and you should not be invoking the spirits of times gone by.
Seriously, why not?
Because it's just like dark energy, dark entities. You don't know what you're getting involved with. It's better to keep a channel to the light. And I'm absolutely not joking.
You don't think that there could be a happy Ouija? I mean, it's called Ouija. Ouija is a happy word. The Ouija board.
No. You're summoning up characters that you don't know how they're going to act, and you're bringing darkness into the room. But have you ever done one before?
When I was a kid, and we scared the shit out of ourselves.
Yeah, fine.
So I was raised in this really strict, devout, born-again Christian family in the Brethren Assembly.
Wow.
And so something like the Ouija... If my mom caught us playing Ouija board, she would be furious because they most definitely raised me to believe in demons and spirits and the hell and the openings, portals to the darkness.
Whoa. Looks like me and your mum are on the same page.
Well, yeah, she also believes in baptism, but it's so...
Is she still religious? She still believe?
She does very much. She's turning 93 years old in April, and my dad and her are still together after something like 67 years of marriage.
Blimey.
My dad is just turned 89, because we make fun of her for being a cradle robber.
Yeah, she's a cougar. Yeah. Good, Anna. So they still believe, though?
They do, yes. They go to church every Sunday. In fact, for Christmas, my mother just was the narrator in the nativity. Mm. And she's never performed in her life, so she was really proud and going, Philip, what do you think? Did I do okay? Was it all right, son? So I had to give her I gave her some tips.
I love mums and dads. My mum and dad do like amateur theatre stuff. I don't know if they're anymore, but they certainly used to. Good on your mum doing it now, but they used to a couple of years ago. And it's so cute because mum would make a little costume or something and she'd be like, oh, don't, it's silly. And it'd be a hairband with something like glued onto it. Oh, it's just very low key. And if there was like someone in the group who'd was from London or whatever, they'd be like, they're a there's a professional actor from London and he's been in a real play.
That's amazing.
I'm going to sound really ignorant now.
Okay.
But you know Jamie, the stage thing?
Yeah.
Did you write that? Or what? How did that kind of... Is that...
No,
were you in it and you wrote it?
No, I was just in it. It's everybody's talking about Jamie. It was written by Tom McRae.
Oh, right.
And Dan Gillespie Sells wrote the music, and Dan was the singer for the band The Feeling, big band. I think that one album was
big stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And Tom McRae, believe it or not, this is true. I didn't know this about Tom. Tom McRae, who's written, he's in LA now, and he's written The Librarians, and he wrote, did he write Him and Her? I think in this country, he wrote a couple of sitcoms in this country. He wrote Everybody's Talking About Jamie, but he told me that he was actually the comedy booker at Goldsmiths College when he was there and had booked me.
Wow.
Like, so when I went, hi, I'm Phil, he went, yeah, I know, it's me, it's Tom. I was like, I'm the guy, the comedy booker for, even I've been watching you for years. And I was like, oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's nice.
What I'm teaching is the other comedians that are watching this, would be really nice to the comedy bookers at universities, because you never know where they're going to end up.
Well, I've done a gig at Goldsmiths.
Yeah.
And I didn't get no part. Yeah, but you can sing that. You've been in a band and everything. So it makes sense for you to be in a musical.
Oh, I guess so. I really honestly don't think of myself as a singer. And the people that were in that show are all trained.
You think of yourself as a part-time model,
don't you? I do. I wish. I'm a hand model.
So the other people were trained and you just turned up, giving it a go.
Just rocked up.
No.
I've been in Taboo, the Boy George musical in 2002 or something like that. And I got that was off the back of being nominated for the Perry Award that year, which never went any further. Isn't that great?
But it's such a weird path. Like, musicals are what everyone would, like, so many people would love to be in a musical, but it's not a natural path from, like, winning a Perrier for stand-up and then going, like, in a big West End play, like a musical.
No, it was a bit strange. I think I got the audition.
Great.
Well, it was great for me. The play had already been running. Matt Lucas had been in the original cast, and Boy George played Lee Bowery. So I worked with Boy George every day for 6 months.
Wow.
So I was able to experience some of that with him. That was great.
Oh, yeah.
I think someone like Nika Burns, who produced Jamie, she also was the producer of the Edinburgh Comedy Awards or the Perry Awards.
Yeah.
So she knew me from that, from like 1993 when we were first nominated. So I think she just knew that I'd always played guitar and sung, but I'm not really a singer. Yeah. Not really.
Oh, I'd love to be in a big musical, apart from the makeup every day. But apart from that, I'd love it.
Yeah.
I used to fancy Boy George when I was a kid.
Yeah, he's a super nice man. He's really smart and very sharp.
Yeah, I'd like a one-way ticket to Cuddle City Central, please. Okay.
Okay, quick fire round. Okay. You ready for it?
Yep, go.
Question one.
Okay.
How much maple syrup are you getting through a day?
At this point, not a lot. Hard to find here. Hard to find here. Yeah, yeah. It's just bad quality maple syrup.
It's shit.
I sometimes bring stuff up back from Canada. Do you know there's different grades of maple syrup, Lou?
Yeah, I do. It's like honey, really. Yeah. You can't just be like, oh, give me a pot of honey. You could pay £50 for a pot of honey.
Yeah. There's a C-grade maple syrup, which is the dark, dark stuff. The stuff that they get before they turn it into the yellow stuff that they sell in airports. And that's really, really good for you. You can live off it. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, because it's from a tree.
Yeah.
Yeah, trees give you everything in the end. You know, some are poisonous, but mostly. And they talk to each other underground and they share light and everything, apart from one arsehole tree that steals. But
who's that?
There's always
one. Who steals?
Well, I can't remember which one. The trees. So the trees all talk to each other and share resources.
They do.
Apart from one brand of tree.
Oh, right.
Brand, we call them. And it takes everything.
I did a panto this year and there was a through line. So, this is for children, about the world wood web. The mushrooms, the fungi under the ground is how the trees, they now think the intelligence has passed through the fungi.
It makes you boggle, doesn't
yeah.
it? It really does. Question two, okay. Can you speak French?
Je ne parle français un petit peu.
You don't speak French a little bit, I think you said.
I don't speak French a little bit. Do you speak French?
Well, I've just started again on Duolingo. Oh. I've got a 20-day streak going.
Okay.
Yes. I was fluent and then I forgot it.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, I'm going to get it back. I'm going to try and live for 6 weeks in France after Edinburgh.
How are you? And you're speaking French?
Yeah, speaking French, just, you know, living off the land. I'm not living off the land, actually.
Living a tree.
The supermarché. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, are you ready for this is a big one.
Okay.
Phil?
Yep, okay.
Touch quiz.
Oh, touch quiz. Okay.
The touch quiz. Right. Yeah. I'm thinking about touching something. Okay. It's not rude.
Okay.
And you have got 5 questions to find out what it is. And good luck, because it's practically impossible.
Okay. Are you, is it one hand or two hand touch?
It's got to be 2.
Yeah.
I think it's got to be 2 for this one. Yeah.
Is it...
gentle. I'm being very gentle.
Is it metal, rubber, plastic or wood?
Flesh.
Flesh. Is it furry?
Not really, but it's sort of, would it be silky or slightly hair, not really hairy, not really silky, a bit silky maybe. Yes, I think silky.
Silky, okay.
It is made of what I'm touching, sort of hair, but very fine. So it would be like silky, like a horse or something, okay. But not a horse.
Okay. Is it alive or dead?
This one's alive. Sometimes they're dead, but this one's alive.
Sometimes they're dead.
Well, you kill them. People kill them, not me.
Is it a pig?
It's a cow.
No! That's pretty close.
So, you have it. Have
I
it.
Said,
go
no,
on, you can have
I
that.
Know, it wasn't, I said, I should have said cow. You know, I was thinking cow. Then, you know what, because you did that show called Shame Pig. I just thought, oh, I'm going to go with pig.
Never use your mind for this. You've got to go with your gut. That's what we learned from this.
And I wouldn't say cows are silky. Pigs are silky.
Ah, well, go with your gut and remember it's me you're talking to, so the description might not be accurate. Okay.
Okay. Is it cow?
It's a cow, yes. Yeah. It's a cow.
Excellent.
Yeah, well, and they'll edit that together so you look a bit smarter because you let yourself down there, didn't you?
A little bit.
You're very clever, aren't you?
No, I wouldn't say particularly clever. I don't know a lot of things.
I
mean, as you get older, do you realise you know less? So I'm becoming thicker.
Battle of Hastings, when was that?
1066.
Yeah, that's the only one I know.
That's the only one I know too. Glad you asked that one. I already got cow and pig mixed up.
And now it's time for Terrific Spurific. And now it's time for Terrific Specifics. How romantic are you then? Come on.
I'm embarrassed by my romance, by how romantic. I don't think I was romantic as I used to be. I think when I was young, I was naive. I was very, very mollycoddled as a child. So I had this dream. It was like a meet the one and fall in love and then get married. And that didn't really happen. I did get married, but that didn't happen.
What happened then with the old divorcee?
Well, we met back before computers were a thing. And we sent letters to each other. She lived in Australia. And we met, and then we were together absolutely together for the first like 6 days. We spent every moment of each other from the moment we met, and then we were living together within 6 weeks. So I moved into her house where she was living with some friends, and then within 12 weeks I'd proposed, and we were married inside that year.
So wow,
that's a romantic person for you.
And then how long were you married for?
We were married for about 5 years or so.
And then what happened? Nosy, aren't
you? Yeah, you are really nosy. Well, people change.
Yeah.
But we are still friends. We, after years of rather acrimonious breakup and divorce, we actually became friends again about 7 years later.
Aww.
Which was the subject of my Edinburgh show, The Weary Land.
I must have bloody missed it.
I did. Yeah, I know, everyone did. It was my attempt to be David Sedaris.
Oh, I love it.
I know, right?
Oh, I love David. I love David.
I know, everyone loves David.
I know you're friends, though, but it wouldn't work getting back together, no.
Well, she's remarried and has teenage daughters, so it would probably be a big wrench in her plan, probably. But no,
yeah,
no, we were meant to be friends.
Yeah, fair enough. That's nice. Are your parents nice to you? Because you said you had a lot of support from them. But are they nice to you even though you're a heathen and don't believe in God?
Well, yes, I'm not a heathen. Well, I don't know what heathen means exactly. I'm a hedonist, that's for sure. My family are really great. I left home when I was about 17 to go to acting school. And they did not want me to do that. They wanted me to... My brother Stephen lived at home till he was in his 30s. I mean, they were a quite strict family. I was a virgin till I was 21. And when I finally escaped, I say escaped to make it sound horrible, when I finally left, and I didn't really have a lot of time for them. I loved them, but I didn't want to go home. I felt my dad was just sort of like lecturing me, but inside a dogma that I didn't believe in anymore. So I couldn't even have the conversations with them. But to give them... they're due in later years, my father has I've got two older brothers, and my brother Andrew said to me, he picked me up in the car at the airport and said, "Has Dad had the conversation with you?" And I was like, "Well, what do you mean the conversation?" He goes, "Well, he's obviously had him an epiphany and he's apologizing."
Wow.
So I guess my father got to a certain age. My brother got a certain age, and we did. We went for a long drive in the car, and I was kind of almost wish my brother hadn't prepared me for it, because I was kind of prepared for it, but he apologized for the mistakes he'd made as a father. I thought, and I was like, "No, everything's fine. We're all really good, man. We're all fine." And he was like, "No, no, his father passed away when he was like a teenager, like 13, 14, 15 years of age. He was the eldest, became a cabinet maker apprentice to keep his mother and his family alive.
Wow.
And he had three boys. He didn't really know how to raise us. And because he had become a born again Christian since his father had passed away, he became very strict and thought, do the best thing for us to do would be to be hard on us. He didn't drink or smoke, but if we did anything wrong, I remember kicking the front window in once because my brothers locked me out of the house and I kicked it and it broke. I got the belt for it, which was probably not the right thing to do, but at the time that's what he thought. At the same time, my mother was completely lovely and tactile and cuddly and protected me. I was a little baby. So I kind of had that experience. My father apologized, I think since he's had grandchildren and then great-grandchildren, I think he's just realized that you shouldn't treat kids like that because of the long-term effects it has on. Although I don't think I've turned into being an evil bastard, so it didn't have...
No, so I guess the message is, do hit your kids with a belt because it doesn't do...
it do any harm. That's exactly it. Thanks, Lou. I saw something online the other day, though, about... because I don't have children, but it was about the newest idea. And they used to talk about taking time outs, you know, like my brother Andrew has his kids on the naughty step. My brother Stephen is the eldest, has two kids. And to a certain age, he would still, you know, smack them, not hurt them. But like if they went to put their fingers in their light socket, he'd smack them. Whereas Andrew and Janet never did that. They'd always take them and put them on the naughty step. Andrew and Janet's kids grew up to be more badly behaved, and Stephen's kids went on to go to university and
really.
But at the same time, Andrew's kids are all mums and dads and mothers, and they have children and they're happy families. And Stephen's kids are sort of young professionals. So this guy I was just interested because of that. This doctor, they've done studies on it that giving a kid time out and taking your love away from them because they're not doing the right thing is actually more harmful in the long term, the sense of their psychology, because it makes love conditional. It trains them to take love away when they're not happy. And I can see why so the answer is don't make your kids sit on the naughty step and ignore them because they've been bad, but let them understand that they're humans, that they make mistakes and that you love them anyway. And then hit them as hard as you can with a belt.
Punch them in the face.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Cuddle club. I think that's enough. How can one overcome shyness? That's from Alan de Botton. Or you can answer, if you were braver, what would you do with your life?
Well, overcome shyness. I don't think I was ever very shy, but I was born with a clinical stutter and a lisp. And, I wasn't able to speak properly until I was about 11. You can probably still hear it. If you listen really closely, I still stutter. So because of that reason, I was always trying to get people's attention. I also moved to Canada when I was really young and then moved around back and forth. I went back to Scotland and back to Canada. And between ages of 8 and 13, went to 5 different schools. I was really short for my age and I'd skipped a grade. So I was elbow high to everyone else in all my classes. And I was Scottish and I was a born again Christian who wasn't allowed to wear denim because my mother, no. I was dressed in polyester and school uniform. Oh. I was never shy. The opposite is true.
Wow. So advice is get some polyester, get a speech impediment, knock a few inches off and should be ready to go.
Yeah.
How did you sort your speech impediments out then?
My mother was able to get me speech once a week, a speech therapist on the hospital OHIP, which is the Ontario Hospitalization.
Bloody hell, it's good work they do, isn't it? Because you do need to speak if you can. Well, for your job.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. So I think my parents thought it was a miracle and that it was God's way of telling me that I should become a minister.
Oh, right, yeah.
A preacher.
Well, God needs to shout a bit louder if you're going to listen through your cloth ears because you went on to comedy.
Yeah, right.
Do they ever watch your stand-up on TV or anything? Did they watch anything?
They've never come to see me do stand-up. Whoa. They've seen me in some plays. Then my parents have now settled into their dotage. My dad's got a computer that my brothers and I got him. So he now watches. He probably will hear this podcast because he just Googles my name and it comes up. So hi, Dad.
Oh, that's so nice. Well, big shout out to Mr. Nickel.
Yeah, he's also realized that there are cameras, live cams all over the world. So you can go on. If you want to go to look at Princess Street in Edinburgh right now, you could Google it and you can see live Princess Street. So he actually gets on when he finds out where I'm, if I'm in Cambodia or wherever I am, he'll find out where I am and he'll find out the live camera and he'll Google it and then he'll watch. And I think it's creepy. I'll be walking down Princess Street and he'll ring me and go, I can see you, wave up to the camera.
What? Can you actually do that? Is that a thing?
Yeah. Oh yeah. He actually watches, this is a true story, he would watch one of his cousins lives in Pitlochry in Scotland and they're on the River Tay. They've got a fishing team and they won the Duke of York fishing prize one year. So they got part of the money they got, they spent on a webcam. So you can actually sit on that little patch of their river where they got the license. On the first day of the year, my dad will sit down at his computer and watch them fly fish. And he'll irritate my mum by going, Ethel, come here, look, come here. And my mum will put down her knitting or whatever and come running over and go, what is it, Ian, what is it? And he'll go, I think he had a nibble there. And she's like, oh, stop it, Ian. She calls it the abomination. But yeah, he does keep up with most of the things I do now.
That is so
And they have
nice.
Told me that they are proud of me.
Oh, you can quit now then.
I took them to the Ivy for lunch. And I said, you can have whatever you want. My mum had shepherd's pie, the cheapest thing. I was like, no, mum, have something. She's like, no, I don't want you spending all your money.
Oh,
and then when the waiter came up and went, and she said, I'll have the shepherd's pie. I went, oh, that's a great option. That's the best meal on the list. And she went, I told you it was. So I went to the Ivy. My dad had Kedigree. My mum had shepherd's pie. And then they put their forks down and My dad said, your mother and I want to say something to you. And I got a bit worried because that's always not a good sign.
God,
And my mom just went, we just want to say how proud of you that we are, that you've done all this. And we wish that we'd been more supportive of you when you were younger. Oh. And she goes, because we don't know what would, if we were more supportive, how successful. Mom, we're in the Ivy middle of London. I'm in a West End show with a movie star and we're going to Buckingham Palace. So in a way.
Cute.
Oh, thanks.
I think actually if you are given everything, too much support, it can go the other way anyway. So I do genuinely believe we get the path we need to learn the lessons we need to learn, unless you're sex trafficked and have a horrific time. And then I don't know why that's happened. But
karma.
God, yeah. Yeah. Okay, if you are listening from a dungeon, Phil says it's your own karma. Okay. Well, you could put this music under anything. Last question. Can you think of a best, worst, or weirdest cuddle?
Yes. It's a weird, it's the best, worst, and weird all in one.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
It's a good one. I was at a gig. I was at the Comedia in Brighton doing the Crater Comedy Club. And it was not long after I'd moved to the country and I was really struggling and I was just partying a lot and had gone out the night before in Brighton with some friends of mine to a vivisectionist rave. So the type of like listening to jungle music, and it was like, we had to break into a warehouse, like climb through the window. And then it was like, like 300 people like listening to trance and jungle music and with big pictures of monkeys with their brains being taken out. Anyway, it was all really weird. And I'd gone straight from there to the pub and then woke up in the pub realizing I've got a gig, and I ran down to the gig. So I basically had been up all night, ran to the venue to only get there for the middle act was just on. I got on stage and I couldn't speak and I couldn't perform. And it was a Saturday night and I was losing them. I was being booed. I was being heckled. I then tried to explain to everyone what was happening. I climbed up on top of the table at the front with my microphone. I was screaming. People were leaving in droves, right? Because it was just like, other people were screaming who'd been there to see me, were going, come on, Phil, come on. I was like, come on, you guys, I could do this. And then the sound guy turned the lights and the sound off and the lights off. And I was standing on the table. So I said, I don't need a microphone. I'm going to keep going. And then the manager came up and just sort of said, Phil, come on, come off the stage. Took me off the stage. And as I walked back through that little curtain into the backstage area, if you know that it's got a really low ceiling, I burst into tears.
Aww.
And because I was really in a bad place. And then these two young girls that had been sitting in the front two rows who had come to see me just pushed their way back around the curtain and then got on either side of me and just started cuddling me. And rocking me and saying, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. And the other comedian came up and looked and went, as if, oh my God, this is so typical. Because they, as I kind of started crying and realizing, these two very handsome young women had cuddled me. And I was like, oh my God, this is fantastic. You're with me on it, right? I was going, oh my God, this is, where are we going? Where are we going? So it was weird. It was bad and it was good all in the one moment.
And then did you all go back and kiss?
Yeah, no, there was no kissing. That was just a lovely, lovely moment. But the other comedian having that other person going, oh, this is so classic. Like
you've just bombed
miserably and you're still getting like two, like, you know, 29-year-old women either side of you wearing cashmere sweaters. I can make it worse. They're wearing cashmere sweaters.
They had full eye
makeup on. It was just, no, it wasn't like that. It was more wholesome than that. But it was one of those moments that made me go, this amazing. And I did have a drink. My friend who had been in the pub with me had gone home, freshened up and come back and showed up. My friend Rich, and he and his girlfriend who worked at the club, we went out with those two girls, the comedian, and we were out the corner to the Mash Tun and had more drinks, and it was a really, ended up being a very nice night. But it was an all-time professional low, and then a personal high, professional low.
Yeah. Well, it's good to get your worst gig, and then you know it's all up from there, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Especially when
was that your worst gig?
That's probably one of the worst.
It wasn't
something I would ever want to do that again.
No, but we've all been booed off. But don't usually get the hug afterwards.
Yeah, usually end up bursting into tears on stage on the front table in front of a room full of people telling you that you're shit.
Oh God!
But I got a hug. But I got a cuddle afterwards. So.
You want to be in a bubble with me, a cuddle bubble?
Okay, are you ready for your cuddle type? I put everything into the calculator.
Oh, okay.
And it just comes
Who
up
Who built
with your
the calculator, by the way? Was it you or?
A proper engineer, you know?
Not a homemade one.
No. Okay, so.
Fingers crossed.
Your cuddle type.
Come on.
Well, it's very popular. Oh. It doesn't sound like much, but if you think about it, it is quite good.
Okay.
Your cuddle type is pasta. Enjoyed hot or cold, can be fresh, can be 4 days old. But you're not old, you're pasta. To say you seem underwhelmed is...
I was waiting for more. I mean...
No, that's it.
I mean, what kind of pasta? I mean, lasagna? Well,
it could be tortellini.
Linguine? I like tortellini because it's filled.
Yeah, it could be tortellini. I think it might be tortellini.
Oh, tortellini, okay. You know what? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, it's Lou. Nice to. There's nothing more comforting than a bowl of pasta.
In fact, I'm now going to hang up from this podcast and go and get myself some fresh tortellini from the Waitrose, probably.
From the Waitrose. It's got to be. You've done a few West End things. It's got to be.
I can afford the Waitrose tortellini. And maybe make a homemade sauce, some kind of tomato based.
That's
thing.
What I'm talking about. Yeah. If you've got some really fancy like ravioli or tortellini in the fridge, that's a good day.
That is a great day. So there's a place in West Hampstead that I went walking a lot during the lockdown. I walk all the way into Hampstead and back from where I live. And there's a place there that does the guys mix the pasta in the window.
I know exactly where it is. It's so good.
The pasta is so amazing. You have to eat. You have to eat it that day. It's like a buy it and go and get it. And I wish I could had the time to go there now and get some.
That's what you are, Phil. That's what you
are. Thank you.
The pasta from that shop. That's what you are.
Okay, I feel a lot better now.
Thank you so much for coming on to talk to us. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
And I'll see you another day.
I'll see you another time. Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye. So that was Phil Nicol, a genuinely lovely chap. Not had an arsehole on here, have I? Let me just go back through. I don't think I have. Okay, Phil Nicol, he's doing a podcast. It's called Songs in the Key of Laugh. And he talks to comedians, musical comedians like Nick Helm, Izzy Suttie, Tim Minchin. And his new series is coming out on the 16th of March. And it's got guests like Adam Buxton. I didn't listen to the rest. I said, well, you can stop me at Adam Buxton. I'll be tuning in. Okay, well, come see me on tour. And if I'm still on tour, if you've missed the boat, you must feel sick as a pig at yourself. Okay, love you. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.